Nehemiah Publishing presents One More Minute, a devotional series by Anthony E. Moore, read for you by the author. Day one.
Faith thinks. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 16, verse 8. From the ESV version, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Have you ever felt stuck or felt unsure of how to get out of a hard spot? In this passage, the Bible shows us a dishonest manager who used his God-given intelligence to think his way out of a difficult situation. This man had just lost his job, was exposed for fraud, and was facing a bleak future. So what did he do? First, he reasoned that he needed to find friends to help him out after it all came crashing down. Then he quickly reduced the bills of his master's debtors, buying their favor. Even his master applauded his shrewdness. Jesus says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." Now, Jesus does not promote his dishonesty, but uses this parable to call believers to strategically manage their lives through intelligent faith. Now, you may have faith, you may trust in prayer, but the Lord also wants you to trust your thinking. Contrary to popular opinion, faith thinks. Faith doesn't just wait. Faith doesn't just anticipate. Faith doesn't just expect. Faith thinks. It isn't enough to wake up each day and say, "Lord, lead me," without any strategic thinking about where God might lead. Let me ask you, where is your shrewdness, your prudence, and wisdom in expanding the kingdom of God on earth? Intelligent faith leans on intentional thought, bringing trust and wisdom together. Here's my question to you. What is it that you have been praying about and still waiting on for an answer? What if I told you that no answer is coming outside of your thinking? That on this occasion, no miracle is coming, no rescue and no divine results. Someone may be praying, "Lord, get me out of debt." But you really want God to just send you money. But God says, no. He says there is an answer, but you're going to have to think your way out of how you can stop paying those high-interest credit card payments. In order to reach your goal, you need to make up your mind that you can't eat everything, wear everything, drive everything, and enjoy everything right now. Instead, devise a strategy to use what God had blessed you with today in order to make a difference in your life tomorrow. Intelligent faith requires the courage to manage your life. Some of us don't need more prayer. We need better management. God has answered the prayer, but we're not working the plan. You can maximize your God-given opportunities by matching them with intellect and prudence. God may be opening a door for you, but you're going to have to think your way through turning the key. Now take a minute and consider what part of your life you need to manage more shrewdly. What God-given plans or strategies are waiting to be activated? Be honest with yourself and write down your convictions. Now take a minute and meditate upon Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The Word of God says, "Those who seek wisdom find the knowledge of God." Let's pray. Father God, I desire to live as a child of the light who lives with a shrewd mind and intelligent faith. Give me the courage to manage my life well in a way that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Day 2.
Simple faith is all it takes. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. John 4, verse 48, the New Living Translation says, Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" Have you ever asked God for a sign, for some proof of His promise? When you feel so uncertain that you long for a signal, some substantiation that His word will come through. Sometimes in these situations, God deliberately leaves us hanging on hope. Sometimes His whisper is simply, "Believe." Surely that's how the government official felt in this passage. No doubt he had heard about Jesus turning water into wine in the same town, so he walked a full day's journey to beg for a miracle of his own. His son's health was steadily declining, and he was close to death. He asked Jesus to come back to Capernaum to heal his son, but Jesus looked at the crowd and saw limited faith. A faith that wouldn't believe that he was the Messiah unless they saw a miracle with their own eyes. Jesus responded, "You people won't believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders." Again, the man pleaded for Jesus to come. So Jesus put his faith to the test, saying, "I won't come to your home. I won't lay my hands on him. There won't be any bells or whistles or any horns blowing. But if you go home with simple faith, your boy will live." The man had to make a decision. He had to make the difficult choice between insisting on evidence or walking all the way home, exercising faith with no proof. Jesus required simple faith. This text holds a very valuable lesson for us. When the official returned home in faith, his boy was healed. He didn't get what he was after, but he got what he needed. He learned to stand on the word of God alone. He didn't need Jesus to go home with him because his presence was in the promise. He didn't need to insist on evidence because Jesus' power was in the very words he had spoken. When God speaks, it is enough. When God speaks, our miracle has already taken place. We just need simple faith. God will be so much more to you when you walk towards your destination, even with no roadmap, clinging only to what He has told you. He will become your sufficiency. But He won't always speak bold words. Sometimes it will just be simple words like, "It's going to be all right." Simple words like, "My grace is sufficient." Simple words like, "Ask and you shall receive." God's calling you to simple faith. Simple faith can bring big blessings. Simple faith can deliver big healings. Simple faith can open big doors. Jesus says simple faith is all it takes. Take a minute and remember how big your God is. Remember how faithful He has been. Consider all the things you are hoping for and choose simple faith. Now take a minute and meditate upon Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Word of God says, Faith is confidence in what you hope for. Let's pray. Father God, I remember your faithfulness. Today, I declare I will not insist on signs and confirmations, but I will stand confidently on your word. May the simple faith in my heart be pleasing to you. May your will be accomplished in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Day 3.
How humility heals. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. Have you ever felt you deserve more honor than you were given? Maybe because of your age, experience, performance, or reputation, you felt worthy of greater acknowledgement. That's how Naaman felt when he showed up at Elisha's house, and Elisha wouldn't even come out to meet him. Who was Naaman? A commander of the Syrian army, a great and mighty man of valor. The Bible tells us he was honored for great victories. And then at the end of verse 1, it adds, but he was a leper. Notice the conjunction in that sentence. But he was a leper. It's worth noting that despite all of our acclaim and reputation, we still battle our own weaknesses. Perfection is not experienced on this side of heaven. Regardless of how great the church is, every church has a but. Even the great heroes and heroines of the faith had buts. Noah preached 120 years, but he got drunk. Abraham was a man of great faith, but he exploited his own wife to save his own skin. Moses was a great liberator, but he killed a man and needed anger management classes. But if we all did a reality check, every last one of us has a but in our lives. Naaman the leper set off in full pomp and privilege to seek healing from the prophet Elisha. He had a letter from the king to command healing. He had money to buy healing. He had an entourage to impress all that he was worthy of healing. But when he got to Israel, Elisha simply sent a servant to him. Go baptize in the Jordan River 7 times, and you will be completely cured of your disease. Naaman couldn't swallow the dishonor. He left in a rage, saying he had the nerve to send his servants instead of coming himself. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know how much money I have? He wants me to go dip 7 times in the dirty Jordan River. That's not happening. Now, please note, even when our pride roars in anger, God always offers a way out through humility. Watch what happens in verse 13. His servant asked him, "Why can't you just wash yourself as he said and be cured?" In other words, why can't you just humble yourself? Naaman had to make a decision. Get off his high horse and let God bless him, or remain stubborn and go back to Syria still sick. Well, he he made the right choice. The Bible says he was baptized 7 times and was completely cured of his disease. If people haven't honored or respected you the way you've hoped, you've got to make a choice. You can hold on to your grudge and remain sick of heart, or you can humble yourself and be available to receive God's blessing. In God's kingdom, the more humble you become, the higher He can lift you. Now take a minute and quiet your heart before God. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you any attitudes that need to be healed. Are there relationships in your life that would benefit from your humility? Write down what you need to do. Now take a minute and meditate upon Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. The Word of God says, "Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought." Let's pray. Father, I choose to humble myself before you. No one is perfect in your sight. I release any and all offenses that I have carried. Please forgive me as I forgive those who have hurt me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this audiobook preview. To purchase your full copy, visit onemoreminute.com. That's onemoreminute.com.